You see, humility is part of being filled with the Spirit, because you're only filled with the Spirit when you deny yourself, right? When you set self aside and you respond to the Spirit, it is an act of humility that makes you filled with the Spirit. Therefore, it is an act of humility that causes the thanksgiving which proceeds from that filling.
For the past 2 weeks here on Grace to You, John MacArthur has shown you what it means and what it doesn't mean to be filled with the Spirit. He's helped you understand what your life should look like when you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, not by your own desires. And today, John wraps up his study, Living in the Spirit, with a look at the virtue that is really the main characteristic of a Spirit-filled life, thankfulness. Why is this virtue so important, and how can you make sure you're practicing it in the right way? John will answer those questions today. In his lesson, he's going to look at three categories of thankful, Spirit-filled people. You saw the first category yesterday with some review before moving on to the next. Here's John.
Let's look again at Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18 to 21. The major truth of the passage is easy to identify. The major truth of this brief passage is that all our Christian living, all this issue of living the Christian life, walking the worthy walk, the whole idea of the Christian's experience is based upon the concept of being filled with the Spirit. Now, if you'll remember, we talked about 3 points in this text: the contrast, the command, and the consequences. The contrast in verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, in which is excess or asotia, dissipation, disease leading to death, but be filled with the Spirit. The command, be being kept continuously filled with the Spirit. It's a continual thing, people. Then the consequences were third, remember? And we said there were 3 categories of consequence: first, to ourselves; second, toward God; and third, toward others. Toward ourselves, singing; toward God, saying thanks; and toward others, what? Submitting. But the point is this: when you live a Spirit-filled life, the overall consequence is blessing. Compartmentalized, first there's a personal consequence, singing. But let's go to the second category of consequence. Toward God, verse 20. This is the second consequence. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are 3 categories of thankful people. I'm going to see which one you fit in. Okay, you give yourself this test. Number 1, this is the easy part. There are those who are thankful after the blessing, right? You say, I'm one of those. That's the easy part, right? Sure. After God has just blessed you, you're thankful. Let's go to step 2. This is the ability to give thanks before the battle begins, for the victory that you know is going to come, all right? First is after the fact. Second is in anticipation of the fact. Now, this is where the people of faith come in. These are the people who believe God before anything happens. These are the people who are celebrating before the war. These are the people who are saying, Lord, I see a problem coming. How wonderful. I'm going to believe you for victory in the midst of this before it even gets there. This is Jesus. This is Jesus in John chapter 11 as he stands by the tomb of Lazarus. Everybody around him is crying. They're all weeping. He says, remove that stone. And Martha gets all upset about doing that. Verse 41, then they took the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do. Now that's faith, isn't it? And then he said, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. Thanks in advance. Now, people, that's another level of spiritual maturity. That's the ability to say thanks before the thing really even unfolds. Are you one of those people who says thanks in advance? You see something coming and you can believe God for the victory before it even arrives? Now, this is harder than after the fact. But God wants this too. God wants your thanksgiving before the battle even begins. And this is tough. This is the test of your spiritual maturity. When you crack up and fall apart in anticipation of the problem, then you haven't reached this level yet. Thank God after the blessing, that's easy. Thank God before the battle begins, that's harder. But the hardest of all, are you ready for the third one? The hardest of all is to thank God in the midst of the battle when it looks like you're losing. That's tough. You can do it after the fact, and you can do it in anticipation of, but can you do it right in the middle of it? Well, God's choice people have. You know, it says about Jonah, what a fantastic thing. Can you imagine if you were in Jonah's situation? I mean, you hear it as a Bible story, but try to imagine what it would be like to be swallowed by a huge fish floating around in the acid of his stomach. And worse than that, to be alive and awake. And Jonah, in chapter 2, kind of gets his act together, and this is what he says. This is amazing. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee and to thine holy temple. And what was your prayer, Jonah? Well, I will offer the sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Here is Jonah in the middle of an acid-filled stomach of some giant monster of the sea saying, thank you, Lord. He says, that's not faith, that's stupidity. No. Thank you, Lord, thank you. You know something? God liked that prayer so much, he poked that big fish and it vomited out Jonah. Here was a man who thanked God in the midst of the belly of a great sea monster. Incredible. God honored it. And you never had it that way, did you? You read Hebrews chapter 11 about all those people who thanked God in the midst of those terrible trials, and then you hear the writer of Hebrews say, you haven't had it so bad. You haven't suffered under blood yet, have you? In Acts chapter 5, the early church is being terribly persecuted, and it says in Acts 5:40, they took them and they beat them and they beat them. And after they had beaten them, they said, don't preach anymore. And they went out of there and they thanked God that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. They were thankful right in the middle of the beatings. And then you find Paul and Silas in the 16th chapter of Acts, and their feet are stretched as far as they could be and locked in stocks, so the muscles are taut and they're in unbelievable pain. And what are they doing? Singing thanks and praise to God. Listen, it's indicative of your character how you give thanks. Because you worship God in connection with your heart. And if the only time you can worship God and thank God is after the blessing, then you're down on the first level. If, however, you can move a little bit higher and you can thank God before the battle even begins in anticipation of the victory he's going to give, that's better. But if you can thank God in the midst of the pain, in the midst of the trial, then you've reached the level of maturity that very few Christians really know. Johnny Erickson, who's written a wonderful book that tells about her life and her accident which paralyzed her body, makes the statement, giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It's a matter of obedience, you see? You don't always have to feel thankful. But it's a matter of thanksgiving is recognition that my life and my circumstances and my destiny is in God's sovereign hand, you see? And that everything that happens is working to the purpose of conforming me to Jesus Christ. And it'll have a profound effect on your attitude. You want to know something? It'll have a profound effect on your attitude. So, when do you give thanks? Always. For what? For what? Giving thanks always for what? All things. You say, for all things? You mean for everything? Even stuff that's troublesome and difficult, sure. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Why? Because that's the way God perfects you. I'm not going to give you a big, long list, but I have one written down here. I won't take the time to do it. But I listed about 40 things that the Bible specifically says you're to be thankful for. And they're not just individual things, they're categories in which you could be thankful for 100 different things within that category. We're to be thankful for everything, for everything, for everything. There's no limit to it. Just the fullness of all the things that God has done for us. All of his attributes are listed. All of the things he's done. We're to be thankful. Do you know the Bible tells us to be thankful for all men? For all people. It tells us to be thankful for all things, to be thankful to God for Christ, for our salvation, for the Holy Spirit, for everything we have, to be thankful in the midst of difficulty as well as in the midst of prosperity, to be thankful for all things. Now, let me tell you something. There's only one kind of person who can be thankful for everything, and that's a humble person. We say, what do you mean by that? Just this, listen. A humble person knows he doesn't deserve anything, right? So the smallest thing for him is a cause of thanksgiving. If you have a problem in your life being thankful, the problem is not a lack of thanksgiving. That's the symptom. The problem is pride. You're saying, God, I just can't be thankful because I think I'm not getting what I deserve. But if you know you deserve nothing, if you see yourself as a sinner for whom nothing is really deserved, then for anything that God would give you, there can be nothing but thanks. It's really a pride problem. A thankful person always has a humble heart. And by the way, people, you see, humility is part of being filled with the Spirit, because you're only filled with the Spirit when you deny yourself, right? When you die to self, when you crucify self, when you set self aside and you respond to the Spirit. It is an act of humility that makes you filled with the Spirit. Therefore, it is an act of humility that causes the thanksgiving which proceeds from that filling. We come right back to the first sin of all sins, which corrupts the whole system, and that is the sin of pride, right? That's what Satan started it all with, right? He looked around heaven and he said, God shouldn't have all of this. I should have it. So he said, I will do this and I will exalt myself and I will so forth. It was I. And even in the garden, she knew that she could be like God. I. It's always that way. Pride is the key to sin. So if you aren't thankful, it isn't really that you need to sort of stir up thanksgiving. It's that you need to experience humility, and humility backs you up to the concept of being filled with the Spirit, because it's only as you crucify self and deny self and yield to the Spirit that humility can be a reality. But if you're a humble person, then you'll be thankful for everything. Everything. You say, well, some people say, well, boy, my husband isn't perfect. How did I get stuck with him? The husband says, my wife doesn't make it. Gosh, there must be other women in the world that people are really happy with. How did I ever get into this? People say, well, my job isn't what it ought to be. They don't treat me the way they ought to treat me. My family doesn't treat me the way they ought to treat me. People don't understand me. They're unkind to me. And they get a bitter, sour, gripey kind of approach to life. And you know why? Because they think they deserve better, right? Boy, I should have a perfect person. I should have a perfect job. I should have everybody treat me just the way I ought to be treated. You see, it's all pride, you see? And as long as we're proud, we'll never be thankful. And you break the back of your pride and it grovels in the dirt, then you can experience what it is to be thankful for everything. So when are we to be thankful? Always. For what are we to be thankful? All things. How? Look at this fabulous statement. How are we to be thankful? Look at it in verse 20 again. It says this, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. Here it comes, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is so fantastic. Listen. It simply means in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ means consistent with who He is, consistent with what He has done. In other words, no matter what happens to me, I can give thanks because of who Christ is and what He has done. No matter what happens in my life, it'll turn out to my good and to His glory, right? That's the fabulous truth of it all. Listen, I couldn't be thankful for everything if it weren't for Christ, but because of Christ, the good things and even the bad things in my life all have a part in conforming me to the image that God wants me to bear, the image of His Son. You see, I can't just say, give thanks for everything, period. If you're not a Christian and you're not in Christ and you don't have Christ interceding at the right hand of God on your behalf and you don't have Christ indwelling in your life and you don't have the sonship and the joint heirship that He promised, if you don't have that, then you can't give thanks for everything, because what you're going to get, you don't need to be thankful for. But on the other hand, if my life is in the control of Christ and I am His son and I am His child and I am a joint heir with Him in His kingdom, and if He is conforming me to His own image, if all of that's going on all the time, then I have cause to be thankful to God for everything. You know, we're by nature so self-seeking because we think so highly of ourselves. And if we don't get it the way we want to get it, then we get upset about it and we get unthankful. But Christ wasn't that way. Oh, listen, we are to give thanks, this verse is saying, also the way Christ gave thanks. If it's Him giving thanks through us, it'll be the way His thanks was given. Did you know He was thankful to God? Matthew 11:25, He says, I thank Thee, O Father. John 6:11, I thank Thee. John 6:23, I thank Thee. John 11:41, I thank Thee. He was thankful all through His life. And you look at His life and you got to wonder why, right? I mean, He who had everything in glory came to this earth and humbled Himself, became a servant, was spit on and scorned and despised and rejected and crucified, and He didn't deserve any of it, and yet He was thankful. Thankful. Listen to this. Though He deserved glory, He got humility. Though He deserved love, He received hate. And though He deserved worship, He received rejection. Though He deserved praise, He got scorn. Though He deserved riches, He was poor. And so it went. And in the middle of it all, He never lost sight of thankfulness to God, because He could see the end in view. It was the joy that was set before Him that allowed Him to endure the cross. And look at us, huh? We deserve humility and we receive glory. We deserve hate and we receive divine love. We deserve rejection, but God gives us sonship. We deserve scorn, but we receive affection. We deserve poverty, and He gives us riches, and we deserve sin's curse, and He gives us His righteousness. And then if everything doesn't go right in our lives, we gripe. See? Doesn't make any sense, does it? According to a medieval legend, two angels were sent to earth. One had the task from the Lord of gathering together all the petitions, and the other had the task of gathering the thanksgiving. The angel who went to gather the petitions couldn't carry the load back. The angel who went to get the thanksgivings came back with a few in his hand. Well, that's a legend, and legends can be far-fetched and fantastic, but I'm afraid that one's not too far-fetched at all. We're so long on requests, aren't we? Which is like signing your name, your self-indulgent servant, John. And we're very short on thanks. Maybe that's the most common sin of all the saints. When do we give thanks? Always. For what do we give thanks? All things. How do we give thanks? In Christ's name. Finally, to whom do we give thanks? God the Father. Verse 20 again, unto God and the Father. And I love the fact that he uses the word Father because it's the benevolent attitude of God that is being seen here. It is God in his fatherliness as he bestows upon us the gifts of his love. He is always, always giving us gifts. He is the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning, from whom every good and perfect gift descends. Everything comes from him. Even the things that come through other people to you come from him as he works through other people. It's Christ singing through us, Christ thanking God through us, and Christ giving through us. I had occasion recently to give something to someone. They had a need, and I had the wonderful joy of giving something to meet that need. And I always like to see the response when you do that and how people respond. And I received a lovely note, and it was most interesting to me that the entire note simply thanked God. Just was refreshing. All through the note, it thanked the Lord. Never said anything about me, just thanked the Lord. And you see, there is the person recognizing God as the source of all things. When we start to thank each other, it kind of borders on flattery a little bit. But when we see God as the source of everything, we have the perspective of Ephesians 5:20. Listen, if you're filled with the Spirit, toward yourself you'll sing. Toward God you'll say thanks. Oh, listen. The Old Testament calls on this over and over again. Psalm 30, Psalm 50, Psalm 69, Psalm 92, 95, 100, 105, 116, and more. It just calls us to thank God and thank God and thank God. It says in Romans 1:21 that the heathen are characterized this way. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You see that? That is a characteristic of an unregenerate world. Thanklessness. God wants his people to be thankful. Paul says to the Philippians, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. Make your requests known unto God with thanksgiving. In the Old Testament, certain orders of the Levitical priests had no other job than to lead the people in thanksgiving. Do you know that all of the feasts and festivals of Israel were set for thanksgiving? The whole purpose of every commemorative feast, Feast of Weeks and Tabernacles and Trumpets and Pentecost and Passover, all they were great national acts of thanksgiving to a God who had served his people so lovingly and graciously. Now listen, I'm going to close this point by saying this. You have three possible ways to respond. There are three kinds of people when it comes to thanksgiving we can look at in closing. And I want you to look at the book of Luke to see them, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. First, some people never give thanks. This is the category of people who never thank God for anything. They think they've done it all themselves. They think they've made their own hay. Luke 12:16, he spoke a parable unto them saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself saying, what shall I do? Because I have no place to bestow my crops. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my crops and my goods. Boy, look what I've done. I've grown this tremendous crop. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to just store it all up. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine easy drink and be merry. Just take the rest of your life to consume all the stuff you've got. God said unto him, you fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Say, what's the point? This is the point. He didn't think he owed God anything because he didn't think God was the source of anything. See? He thought he did it all himself. Look what I've done. I'll spend the rest of my life consuming my own accomplishment. And he said, you're going to die tonight. You're going to die tonight because you didn't recognize that nothing grows anywhere unless God makes it grow. There's no ground and there's no grain unless God makes it. And you have not been rich toward God. You have not recognized God as the source of everything. Therefore, you lose it all. See? These are people who aren't thankful for anything. They just think they did it. They earned their own fortune. They made their own way in life. They grabbed their own gusto. They did their own thing. God isn't even involved. That's one option. You can just be one of those people who never give thanks. And then there are others who give thanks, but it's hypocritical. Look at chapter 18 of Luke. This is the hypocritical thanks. Luke 18, verse 9. And here's another parable given to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. These are the self-righteous. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Notice he's talking to himself, and he says, God. He worships himself, so he's really identifying himself. I thank thee. Now listen, this guy hasn't got an ounce of thanksgiving in his heart. He's not thanking anybody but himself. He's saying, I'm so thankful to me for what I have accomplished. He sort of tries to make it appear as if this is worship of God. The other man, tax collector, standing afar off, wouldn't lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. You see, there are some people who never give thanks at all, and then there are other people who just go around thanking themselves under the guise that they're thanking God. They're self-righteous. That's hypocritical. There's a third category in Luke 17, the truly thankful. This is a beautiful story. I'm going to read it very rapidly. Verse 11 of Luke 17. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, how many? One of them. Only one out of 10, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. I mean, only one is thankful out of 10? And he was a Samaritan, a half-breed, an outcast. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath saved thee. I think it's saying, in other words, the 10 got healing, but only one got salvation. Listen, that's true thanks. That's true thanks. The rest got what they wanted, and what they wanted was their selfishness fulfilled. They wanted to get rid of their disease that made them a social outcast. The other one, the magnificent minority, gave Christ what Christ wanted, glory. You see the difference? And some of us are satisfied to get what we want, and we don't even think about Christ. Others are concerned with the glory that he wants and deserves. Gratitude, beloved, is man at his best. Ingratitude is man at his worst. David said, thus I will publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works. We of all people should be thankful, you know. If we never had anything but Jesus Christ, we should be thankful, right? Because in having Christ, we have everything for eternity.
This is Grace to You with John MacArthur. Thanks for tuning in today. John is Chancellor of the Masters University and Seminary, and his current study is titled Living in the Spirit. John, your teaching on Ephesians is what got me really excited about that book, first of all. And I love every chapter of it, but I have to say, chapter 5 is my favorite, and this material on living in the Spirit, absolutely amazing and revolutionary. To help our listeners get their arms around what you've just finished, summarize for us this thing called living in the Spirit. What is it really? How does it change a person's life?
Well, I think sometimes in the contemporary Christian world, we think that living in the Spirit is some kind of mystical, transcendental experience, some almost supernatural miracle or mystical, intuitive voice from heaven, when the fact of the matter is that living in the Spirit simply means walking one step at a time in obedience to the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
It's not that you're going to feel the Holy Spirit. There's no mechanism by which you can feel the Holy Spirit. It's not that you're going to have some kind of demonstrable recognition, some mechanism inside of you that's going to say, wow, the Holy Spirit is at work in me now. It is simply living life one step at a time, walking in the Spirit. Simply means living life consistently with the will of the Spirit. Now, how do you know the will of the Spirit? You know the will of the Spirit because He revealed His will on the pages of Holy Scripture. So don't think of being filled with the Spirit as some kind of one-time event or some kind of repeated event. It's the way we ought to live every single day. It ought to be like spiritual breathing. So take your next step in obedience to the will of the Spirit. Ephesians 5 says that we are to be filled with the Spirit and speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, and so forth. Colossians 3 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and then speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So if you have the same outcome, then the cause of those outcomes is the same.
Right.
So being filled with the Spirit in Ephesians is exactly the same as letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly in Colossians. So what is that? The word of Christ is divine revelation. Being filled with the Spirit means you walk consistently in obedience to the will of God revealed in the Scripture. That is a Spirit-filled life. Now look, the series has been wrapped up. We said a lot. You need to go back and listen to it again, and you're able to do that. We can provide for you Living in the Spirit series on 7 CDs. If you would like to get the CDs to use in a Bible study or any other way that you would choose, they are available from Grace to You, reasonably priced. The whole series, Living in the Spirit, packaged in 7 CDs, this really incredibly important message for every believer is available through Grace to You.
And this material is crucial for any believer who wants to grow spiritually. Through the Spirit, you experience victory over sin and other incredible blessings that God has promised to His children. To make sure you know how the Holy Spirit works in your life, pick up the study John just wrapped up, Living in the Spirit. Contact us today. You can call our toll-free number, 800-55-GRACE, or go to our website, gty.org. Living in the Spirit comes in a 7-CD album. It's affordably priced and shipping is free. And if you'd like to put this series on your smartphone, you can download every message for free at our website. In fact, all of John's sermons, 3,500 of them total, are free to download at gty.org. Also, friend, if you're benefiting from these lessons, know that's happening across the globe. People are benefiting because men and women like you support us financially. When you give, you help us encourage pastors, Sunday school teachers, business people, stay-at-home moms, college students, and many others. So if you'd like to partner with us, call 800-55-GRACE. Or go to gty.org. That's our website. One more time, gty.org. And now for John MacArthur and the entire Grace to You staff, I'm Phil Johnson, inviting you back for tomorrow's broadcast. The series John will start tomorrow shows you how to avoid distractions and how to keep your focus on Christ. It's titled Reaching for the Prize. Don't miss the next 30 minutes of unleashing God's truth one verse at a time on Grace to You.